Today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, Perek Chav Dalet, Mishnah Yud Gimel, introduced by our Kapitan. Lovely. We're continuing on in Perek Shlosha, because this is the Perek that introduces all of the variations. We're now in the 13th example of this idea of types of things that have three modalities. One in which they can be mekabel tumas midras, one in which they can be mekabel tumas maga, which we always talk about in terms of tumas meis, because we're trying to contrast the av hatumah status of a midras to the av hatumah status of actual contact with a meis, and one in which there would be no tumah whatsoever. So now we're moving on. We've spoken about all kinds of different things. We're moving on to sheets. So sheets are flat material. A flat material, the pashta should not be mekabel tumah. It has no base kibble and so on. But if a sheet is made for a bed to lie on, then obviously it will be tamei midras, because that's the essence of tumas midras. How about a sheet that is meant to hang as like a mechitza, vilon? It's not a vilon in front of a window, it's a vilon in front of a door. Now, since people have a tendency to warm themselves next to an area like that by using that sheet, it will be mekabel tumas meis, but it certainly will not be mekabel tumas midras, because it is not meant to lie on. Vishel tsurot, now there are sheets that are used in art studios, and those have different designs on them. You could see these in when you go to order a tefillin zekel or a challah cover or something. We're hanging in the store. They've got all of these various designs. You could choose this design to be put on or that design. Those are not meant to be used at all. And since it's a pshute beged, and it's not mishamshe adam directly, because of that, it doesn't have any tuma whatsoever. Moving on to Kelim Chavdalad Mishnah Yudalad. There are also shalosh mitpachotein. There are three types of towel-like cloths. Shel yadayim, if you have a bath towel, so then that would be tamei midras, because sometimes you, when you're not using it to dry yourself, you sometimes lie it down on the mattress and you put it down on the chair and sit on it. And you wouldn't say amod v'nase malachtenu, because that was a valid use for it. Shel sefarim, if it's used to hold the Sefer Torah with, then it can be metami tumas meis, because you wrap it around your hand when you're turning the parchment of the Sefer Torah. And so because of that, it's viewed also as a beged, that now going around your hand is like a beged that is mekabel tumah, but it will not be mekabel midras. Vishel tachrichin, but if it's used for tachrichin of the dead, then that is not called Meshamshe Odom. Meshamshe Odom has to be Meshamshe Odom Chai, as the Rambam speaks out Beferish. And if it is just one of those covers that were used by the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash, it's interesting how often we get back to the various Kalim of the B'nai Levi. Since those were not a box-like affair, but they simply would put a towel over the navel, that is Torah Miklum, because it neither has a base kibble, nor is it Meshamshe Odom. It's only Meshamshe Kalim. Kalim that are Meshamshe Kalim are not Mekabel Tuma. Mishnah Tetvav in Perek Chav Dalet of Kalim. Shlosha Praklinin Hein. There's three types of these thick leather. They're like gloves, but they cover over your hand around the wrist and go down over your hand. And they're not meant as regular begudim gloves. They're meant as protection. So if you are, let's say, a falconer, so you'll notice in all of the nice movies that you've seen where people have the falcon coming down right there on their arm to protect their arm, they've got this thick glove that extends up. And those would be tsayadim of chaya v'of. And they use these birds to hunt down animals. And so sometimes the person who is hunting has got to be climbing, and he's got to rest his head on this glove. And because of that, since he now uses it to support himself when he's climbing up the mountain and so on, it supports his weight, and therefore it's considered to be roi for tumas midras as one of its secondary usages. If it's a glove that is worn by people who collect chagavim, so they will often use it to fill up with the locusts that they caught. So therefore it's considered to be a base kibble. And therefore, it's mekabel tuma of tumas meis. How about kayatzin? How about people who use it to handle fruit that is being taken up for drying? So over there, it's used to protect you from getting all sticky. And there, as we learned in Shabbos, remember, about the kis shel zav, so we learned over there, atzule mitinuf is not considered to be a beged. Something that is only there in order to prevent you from getting sticky or from getting dirty, that's not called a beged, and therefore over here, it's not mekabel tuma at all. Next example of a threesome is Mishnah Tet Vav, Tet Zayin, and we're in Perek Chof Dalet, and we have Shalosh Sivachot. Now remember that the Sivacha, again, we met in Shabbos, Kol Shemitachat L'Sivacha, remember? So it was a question of whether a woman would have to uncover her hair in order to be able to take down that ribbon, therefore whether it was any chashash that she would take it off, or Rosh Hasharabim. But the truth is that there are three types of these Sivachot, which is, in the Shabbos, we were talking about a svacha that's mamish like a hat. The typical svacha is worn beneath a hat, over the hair, and it's like what we would call a hair net kind of thing. So, shel yalda, a young girl's hair net, is often not kept on her hair. And therefore, she'll take it off, and she'll put it under her to sit on the beach. And that kind of thing, therefore, is a mekabel tumas midras. An older woman will use a stiff hairnet to sort of prop up her head, and that she will not sit on, because if she does sit on it, she'll wreck it, because the stiffness of those hairnets, as you know, is very easily destroyed with any kind of pressure, and therefore it's a fine type of beged, but certainly not a beged to sit on, so it's mekabel tumas meis as begadim or mekabel. A woman who is wearing a hair net over herself to protect herself from dirt or from rain, and that's lachutz, that's something that is put on top of your head when you're going outdoors in bad weather, that's tahara miklum for the same reason, because that is really atzule mitinuf. That is not itself a beged. It's there in order to prevent you from getting wet or to prevent you from getting dirty, and is not considered to be a mekabel tuma at all. Now, we are moving on to the last Mishnah, which is a little bit misleading, because it's true that this parak of Shlosha Trisin is all about three different modalities of the same type of general kli, which could be mekabel tumas midras, or mekabel tumas maga, or not mekabel tuma at all. This last Mishnah is not the same, even though it is also three. And that's why it's put here, because it's another type of three. But what our Mishnah is interested in defining is the din of patchwork. So we want to talk about what is the halacha when one kli is attached to another kli. There are three different types of patchwork that will define a different halacha depending on how it's done. So if you've got, so now we're talking about putting kelim together. Let's talk about putting boxes together, right? So you've got three different dinim. Shalosh kupot, does that mean three different boxes? Shalosh kupot means three different dinim that we can say about boxes that have been glued together. So let's imagine a mehuha. A mehuha is, as its name implies, hoo-hoo-ha, it's pretty worn out. So we've got this worn out box, okay? And we're going to use it to patch onto a bria, onto a solid box. So you got, let's say, a hole in a box, which is a good box. We just got this hole. So you want to take this junky box, glue it onto the good box, and it happens to come out as right about the area where the hole was, and now fixes it. So I glue it together, or I screw it together. So over there, the din is defined by the bria. The good box, whatever its status is, if it's tamei, then the tumor will now spread to the entire new contraption that you've made with the glue, hokinach rabriya. If the worn-out one was tamei, and now it was screwed on or glued onto the bria, which is tahor, it will become tahor, and vice versa. If the bria was tamei, then the other box will automatically become tamei, even if it was actually tahor before. Now let's imagine a smaller box. They're both in good condition, or they're both in bad condition. In other words, there's nothing about the condition that is indicative of which one should be the ikar. So we made a patch of a small box onto a larger box. Over there, the din can't be defined by condition. It's defined by the size. A larger box is the box that will define if it's tamei, the small box becomes tamei. If it's tahor, the small box loses its tumah. How about if the two boxes were basically the same size and basically the same matzav? So there, what you did was maybe you wanted to reinforce the good outside box by putting a box that was the same size in terms of how much volume it has, but you were able to fit it inside the other one because it extends a little bit from the other one. So I glued one inside the other. Now I've got a much tougher box. So the din over there would be the inside box is considered to be the major box. And it's hokinachar apnimit because that's the area that you meet up with in your usage. And we view that as being the ikar kli. Now let's take a situation where we also have to solder a piece against another piece. And what we do is we've got a pan that we took off of a scale. And we used it as a patch for your big Shabbos mecham. So you got the samovar. The samovar is leaking. You solder on the kaf moznayim as a tela'ah, which is this patch, on the bottom of a mecham, on the bottom of a samovar, a large kettle. So what's the din over there? So whether we look at it as tameh or tahor depends where the patch was attached. Now, in this case, you took the scale is tamei, and the mecham was tahor. What will define the status now of the patched up mecham? It depends if you patched it from the inside or the outside. So if you put the soldered patch on the inside, then the entire mecham becomes tamei, because as we said, the patch was tamei, and things which are on the inside are considered to be the fundamental kli. If you attached it to the outside, then the mecham itself remains tahor, and in fact, the piece of patch that you took from the Kaf HaMoznayim that was originally Tameh now becomes Tahar. Because again, we're talking about something where both of them are seen to be in the same condition. Both of them would be able to hold the same area that they're surrounding. And therefore, we look at the inside. How about if you patch the side of it? Talaya al tzida. So you put this as a patch on the side of the kettle. So then, bein mi bifnim, bein mi bachutz. Then you would usually use something that would now be seen as small because it's not holding the same thing that the other thing is holding. It's just on its side. In which case, we go according to what is the large thing, and that is the mecham. If the mecham is tahar, so then the kaf moznayim itself becomes tahar, even though it was tameh before. Hadron alach shlosha trisim.